Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back, my friends, to the show that will have to end. I'm playing a little bit on some words from Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, but the show can't go on forever. We're either going to have to act, and we're going to have to get engaged regarding Republic Review, regarding calling the federal government out on complying to the Constitution, or they're going to discard the Constitution. It's just a matter of time. And I'm telling you, that time frame is somewhere between 2020 and 2024. We can avoid going to hell in a handbasket. That's just an adage. I mean, it's already bad right now. But once they get rid of the Constitution, then there is nothing keeping them from doing anything they want in restricting your thoughts, and they will try to do what they can. And as a matter of fact, I've talked about this before. They've already implemented artificial intelligence within, what do they call those places? It's like ports of entry into Europe, whether they're at airports and so forth. And they can tell when you're lying because they got an artificial computer that is actually reading your expressions on your face. They have controlled questions, and then they ask, almost just like a lie detector test. And once they go through the controlled questions, then they start asking you why you're there and so forth. And this computer can tell if you're lying or not. So I'm telling you that with what they're doing in China, Google is supporting all of this technology. Google, your friend, you better start using DuckDuckGo, and you better start getting off all the Google platforms. Vimeo instead of YouTube. Go anywhere instead of YouTube. I need to get my stuff off of YouTube. But with that, let me remind you that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that talks the plain talk of what it takes to get back and get the federal government back into compliance. If you happen to be on travel, if you happen to be out and about and you go, oh, Reclaiming the Republic is on, put this phone number into your phone. This is the Red State Talk Radio dial-in line so that you can just dial up and listen. I've used it myself, and it's actually really good. 605-562-4209. Now, let me wrap up on some marketing and news, the things that I didn't get a chance to cover, and some of these things that we call go backs, because I've got to go back on something that G. Edward Griffin talked about. But other than that, we have the militia in queue right today. It is in the queue, and we will be getting to it. But let me first do this obligatory stuff. As you know, there's all sorts of ways. I'm hoping that this year is the year that you commit to supporting the Constitution, that you commit to doing what needs to be done. And that is supporting constitutional candidates. And we're going rhino hunting in 2020. I want you to know, even though rhinos with an H may be, an endangered species, there is an abundance of rhino, R-I-N-O's, out there. And we want to get them out of the public fray forever. We want to lock down good, solid conservative candidates. And we need to start tying their hands to some standards. The reason this nation started with a laissez-faire attitude towards politics was because men were noble and they were able to be held to their oath of office. If you don't have any teeth to the oath of office, which technically we do, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, you can charge somebody for moral perjury, for violating their oath of office. And I'm here to tell you, you can start banning politicians and public servants who have been elected and have sworn in by an oath if they have committed moral perjury and violated that oath of office, which means that they have allowed violations of the Constitution to occur. They voted for it, they supported it, or what have you. Anything that is giving aid and or comfort to the enemy of the Constitution. So with that, we would love your support any way you can. Send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I'm going to just gloss over the Red State coffee grinds. You can get those here, and we'll let you know if you can get Red State coffee beans as well. You can hit us up for some financial funding on GoFundMe with the Reclaiming the Republic support page, or I should say the campaign. We'd be honored, and it'd be a humble honor to get any type of financial support. We're just looking for some support to cover our travel costs. If you've got time or what have you to do research, to make phone calls and so forth, give me a call. Or I should say, actually, I'm going to be getting a phone number for comments and so forth that you can call in. But right now, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Yeah, here's my home phone, 555-1212. Anyway. I will be getting a, if we want to call it the Reclaiming the Republic hotline, I will probably be doing that someday soon. Anyway, just around the corner, it's about 6 months, less than 6 months away, it is Constitution Day. What are you doing? What are you going to do? Are you leading in your local area to champion the Constitution? You need to do something. We all need to do something because that is the problem with our society, with our government, the fact that they are so out of compliance with the Constitution. So I'm praying that you can actually send me some email correspondence in some respects to say, hey, GR, we're doing this here. And I, you know, that would just warm the cockles of my heart. I would just be so pleased. I would be sanguine with that type of information, and I would be happy to share it out over the public airways. If you want to tell me what you're doing, where, who you are, and so forth, we will help plug that because that's what we're all about. It's all about supporting Constitution and the constitutional awareness in communities. So, as you know, I always check the news, and just like yesterday and probably just like tomorrow and every other day hence, there will be no sign that the federal government is going to relinquish any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers, which means you and I are going to have to do it. We are going to have to bond together and do what it takes. And it's really not that hard. I'm actually putting out to, if you want to call it a strategic plan, business model, and all of that, not a strategic plan, but I'm putting together the package. This is what it really takes. This is what we have to do. And it's not that hard. The most important thing is we actually have to start standing on compliance. We have to force people to comply, period. So with that, let me just kind of jump forward into, you know, the Red Pill Expo announcement, June 7th, 8th, and 9th, Hartford, Connecticut, Red Pill Expo. You don't want to miss this. Go get your tickets. Get your tickets early. I believe they offer an early discount. Get in there. Get your tickets. You don't want to miss this. Who knows? I may actually be there to speak and talk about Republic Review to the good people at Red Pill Expo. Who knows? I mean, crazier things have happened. With that, let me kind of cover some things that I thought were pretty important. I was going to mention them yesterday, but I really ran out of time. That's because I've been ranting too much lately. I need to focus a little bit in getting you some information. As you know, Secretary Nielsen has left the Homeland Security, and so she is moving on. There's no doubt in my mind she's got to be frustrated with all the kickback and everything else she's getting from Congress. Their hands are tied in trying to do what they think is their job, but really, whose job is it to protect that border if there's an invasion coming? Well, yeah, it's the federal government, but they're supposed to be calling up the militia. And so with that, that's one of the reasons why the militia information is in queue. We're going to finish kind of going through those. And I'm here to tell you that if we were abiding by the Constitution, the states would be sending, and there would be ample, you know, if you're only guarding a border from militia, it's not like these are, this is what you call a Trojan horse invasion, because these people are coming in, they're coming in as though, oh, you know, it's a humanitarian crisis. No. Over time, when you have millions and millions of the people and they're not assimilating, they're not becoming a part of our society, what they're trying to do is change our society to that corrupt and crappy, crap hole nation that they just came from. And that is not right. That's why we have laws. That's why we have immigration systems. And that's why we have immigration standards. And it really, I know it bothers everybody, but the bottom line is that the Homeland Security shouldn't be doing this. It should be the militia. Trump, and I think this is a good move, Trump gets rid of Ailes as the director of the Secret Service. And so, you know, he's been there for a while, and you know that he's got to be, you know, probably part of the deep state. Almost all management within all of these bureaucracies have to be some, you know, some level of the deep state. Whether they know it or not, they truly believe that there's these certain things that they should be doing. And whether it's right or wrong, constitutional or not, that doesn't matter. They're going to do it. And so, as you can tell, there is that Emerson, Lake and Palmer version of Aaron Copland. And so I will have to come back after these two announcements. So please stay tuned. And when we come back, I'm going to actually do a go back on what G. Edward Griffin was talking about. Then we're going to get into Cory Booker's dumb comments. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so last week we kind of talked about Al Sharpton, remember? And how he was, he's making a hard stance on reparations. And I don't know if I articulated it well, but anybody that is trying to do that is literally trying to be divisive. In other words, they're not trying to lead. They're trying to get people in their belly to get hungry for greed and avarice. Yeah, boy, this would be great if we could get the money. And I'm telling you that they don't have a legal leg to stand on. So I've already kind of mentioned how reparations actually works, because reparations was actually paid out to those who lost property. Those who actually obtained their liberty was really very, very happy to do so. Now, you got to remember that Madison and Jefferson went to great lengths in trying to send back or repatriate blacks that were freemen, back to Africa. And that's why they laid out Monrovia as well as Liberia and made a way for them to kind of create their own nation of liberty. And that's one of the reasons why Liberia was one of the few nations in Africa that seemed to excel on enlightenment, because they had had that influence from Monroe and the founders. And so anyway, or I should say the framers. So anyway, let me kind of give you the problems with any and everybody who wants to espouse this reparations concept as a solution. First off, slavery, just focusing on slavery here in America, in the Americas. Let me take a broader perspective. In the Americas, slavery was ran and instituted initially by Spain and Portugal. Then, when Britain started getting into the conquest mode, they started actually instituting slavery as well up here. But the slave trade at that time was still being ran by the Portuguese and the Spaniards. If you have ever read Jefferson's original Declaration of Independence, then you will know for a fact that it was Britain who instituted slavery here. And this is what he said in one paragraph. And as a matter of fact, this got actually cut out by the Continental Congress because they thought it was too inflammatory, especially the southern states, because it was kind of judgmental on the fact that these guys were still, you know, running slaves. Anyway, he said this. He's talking about King George. He has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of a distant people who never offended him, captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere, or to incur miserable death in their transportation thither. This piratical warfare, basically, you know, like pirates, pirate warfare, the opprobrium of infidel powers is the warfare of the Christian king of Great Britain, determined to keep open a market where men should be bought and sold. He has prostituted his negative for suppressing every legislative attempt to prohibit or to restrain this execrable commerce, this horrible commerce, and that this assemblage. And so he's pointing out that they actually had tried and tried and tried to stop slavery and get back into indentured servitude and so forth, because slavery was just, it was problematic. They didn't want it. It wasn't until Eli Whitney and the cotton gin where it was just became, you know, it turned the tables, where slavery all of a sudden seemed to become profitable. It flies in the face of Christianity and the doctrine that every man must live by the sweat of his brow, because if you're living by the sweat of another man's brow, then you're just violating that fundamental commandment that was given to Adam, to all humanity. So anyway, let me kind of move back. And he says, and this assemblage of horrors might want no fact of distinguished dye. he is now exciting those very people to rise in arms among us and to purchase that liberty of which he has deprived them by murdering the people of whom he also obtruded them. And so let me see here. Obtruded. What's a good word? So imposed or meddled or so imposed upon us. Thus paying off former crimes committed against the liberties of one people with crimes he urges them to commit against the lives of another. These are strong words, my friend, and I'm telling you, he was really putting it out there. So who should we really blame for reparations, or who should we really put the blame on American slavery or how it was instituted here in America? You know, when you start using a belt to hold up your pants, it's kind of hard to change and go to suspenders. Some cultures go with suspenders, some cultures go with belts, but either way, it becomes a cultural thing and it is hard to end or break. I'm going to tell you that if you look at the fact, and people want to say, well, the federal government instituted slavery. Absolutely, it did not. As a matter of fact, the federal government left it up as a state issue. It wasn't until the shenanigans, and they violated the Constitution with the Missouri Compromise. There's no way, in fact, that they could have enforced one state or put it upon one state to say, you have to be a slave state. There's nowhere in the Constitution. They violated the Constitution left and right. The states that decided to maintain slavery in the United States, if you wanted to extract a pound of flesh, it would have to come out of Georgia and the two Carolinas. They were the three states during the Constitutional Convention that stood up and said, if you want to abolish slavery, we're gone. And you've heard me talk about this. You've heard me be very clear and concise over this issue. The fact is, I believe Madison, Randolph, Benjamin Franklin, all of these great men, they should have called their bluff and said, there's the door. Get the heck out of here. We're going to move forward without slavery, and good luck with the Spaniards to the south. And oh, by the way, the French are in your knickers too, because they're right behind you back there in Louisiana and moving this way. And so if you don't think you're going to be able to live without us, then okay, fine. Or if you do think you can live without us, then okay, fine. But we bet you'll be crawling back, and when you do, you better have a good plan in getting rid of your slavery. We don't want to hear any sorry excuses anymore. And that would have solved the problem right there. It would have been that simple. But, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. But in all honesty, I knew these men had an incredible amount of faith. But the fact of the matter is, I don't believe these men had enough faith, because or they would have called this bluff. They would have called these three states out and said, there you go. There you go. Get out of here. Because it would have easily been a done deal. Had they gone out on their own, Georgia would have faced harassments knowing that they were no longer a part of the Union from Spain. So bottom line, as I said last week, there is a host of nations that need to lead on this. I know these people say, oh, well, we want America to do this first. We're the last country, to be clear. America, being a Christian nation and the one nation that paid the most to eradicate it, more people died in freeing and ending slavery here in America. More people died here than anywhere else in the world as far as a war goes on the slavery front. We were the ones that actually sanctified this nation once again by the spilling of blood. And so I'm here to tell you, it just didn't end there. After we had done that, we actually started spending money, and we actually teamed up with Great Britain to go around the world to help end slavery in all of these other places. If it wouldn't have been for America and Britain, and really we were the ones that probably carried most of the weight as far as forces and so forth, had it not been for us, then the slavery still would have been a huge institution. And what the heck? Why are these people not even complaining? Instead of worrying about reparations for themselves, why don't they start standing up and saying, hey, slavery's already surfacing its head again, and we need to cut this head off once and for all and start going back into Africa and into the Middle East and into all of these other places, communist countries. That is the epitome of slavery, slavery to the state. And that's all these people are trying to do. This is just a facade, and it's hyperbole, and it's sad. It is pathetic that they're trying to make these types of issues in such a divisive way. There's just no doubt in my mind that that's all they're trying to be, is they're trying to be divisive. So I think I'm done with my rant. I believe I'm just really out of time. So when we come back, we're going to talk about Illinois and how they just kind of passed, they're trying to pass some new laws. And we've got a couple of other things to come up on with some G. Edward Griffin need to know news that I wanted to share with you. But then we'll get into the militia. I promise you, I've got it right here in the queue. So we will be right back after this. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so I just got a little prodding from a constitutional friend that said, hey, is reparations actually constitutional? And actually, no. And to clarify, in the Constitution, there's this thing called the Uniformity Clause. In other words, the federal government has no power to give one state anything. That's why when you look at all of these corporate welfares, when they did the TARP bailout, that was unconstitutional. They should not have given trillions of dollars to New York and a couple of the other trade exchanges where some of these brokerage houses and insurance companies were, because that money didn't go into the rest of the states. That one, they didn't have the power to do that. Plus, it violated the Uniformity Clause. And because all these people do not understand the Constitution and how limited they are literally driving this train off the track and in any direction they think they can go. And it's all in their head. And the easy way to wake them up and say, you have no power to do this, and take it all away from them, and voila, that train is back on the track, is Republic Review. So the question I have to ask is, you know, you're seeing these warnings. This was just like Hillary Clare. This is just like all the other bad nightmares that the train is going to go into the river. And now it is. And the train is going into the ocean. And it soon will be. What is it going to take to wake you up? Don't be dumb like the overeducated doctors. And I'm not trying to insult doctors, but anybody that was as educated as the doctors. And when they saw Hillary Clare coming down the pike, why did they just sit on their laurels and on their hands and think, oh, well, see, we stopped it. This can't happen here. They should have started buying into their politics to make sure that liberty and these markets were being protected. But everybody on the conservative side says, why do I need to spend my money? You know, we'll get these. And in what they think are good guys are corruptible people. The only way you're going to get people to actually perform is you hold them legally accountable, just like in the old days. These men who were held to the standards of morality and to their honor, where life meant more to them than, you know, losing their honor. They would rather go fight a duel than to see their name besmirched by some hooligan that thinks he could just get away with calling. I mean, how did Alexander Hamilton die? That's right. It was from a duel. And so let me get into this G. Edward Griffin need to know news. He points out that the Illinois House of Representatives passed a bill mandating that all publicly traded companies headquartered in the state must have a woman and an African American sitting on their corporate boards by 2021. So in other words, don't get the best qualified person to actually lead that company, because if it's a black person or if it's a woman or if it is, I don't care, even if it is a homosexual, it whoever is the most qualified person should be there. The fact of the matter is all of these companies are being driven in the wrong direction. And I think anybody could be up there and ruin all these companies, because it seems like that's what's happening. But G. Edward Griffin's personal comments are, if the state passes the bill into law, bye-bye Illinois. Not because women and black Americans should not make policy decisions for businesses, but because the concept is racial and gender discrimination. And he's absolutely right. It violates the property rights of stockholders, and it increases the risk of businesses' failures by forcing owners to place social considerations above efficiency and efficacy. And that is a fact. We can't allow these types of hooligans and this type of thuggery to continue within these laws and these paradigms. This is pure communism and social justice. That's all this is. Here's another good one. Italy's ruling politicians, led by the Populist League and Five Star Movement, pushed ahead to seize control of the Italian central bank and its gold reserves. This is described as the most moral thing to do in view of the recent loss of billions of dollars by hundreds of thousands of small investors who bought bank shares and bonds. So here's the funny thing. The populists and communists want to force the private banks to sell their shares to the government at prices from the 1930s. They say the people are the rightful owners of it's a little over 2 metric tons. It's almost 2.5 metric tons of gold, worth about $102 billion. And so here's the funny thing. They're saying that this is the people's gold. This belongs to the people. And that is so communist, isn't it? It's the usual collectivist trick of getting people to believe that when something is controlled by the government, that it means it is owned by the people. It has never been that way. And in truth, It is owned by the politicians. If the people really owned it, the gold would be distributed among them and they could do with it whatever they wish. The Italian people will not, it's the same thing with what they're trying to do with reparations. The Italian people will not be able to sell their alleged share of gold. Therefore, they do not own it. All that is happening is the gold and the power of legalized plunder will move from one group to another. And so that is the direction that you can expect as we develop communism for all here in America. Now, last time we talked about the militia, we were talking about this going back and forth on, and if I remember correctly, it was Saturday, June 14th, because I'm looking at June 16th, and I know that they did not work on the Sabbath. Old blue laws, right? I guess they weren't Christian back then, but they didn't work on the Sabbath. Anyway, I started off the 16th, and this is where Madison is making some real knocking it out of the park type of observations and arguments. And this is where he's laying it down. Why we have to have militias as our bulwark. Why the militia is integral to American security and American liberty. And he says, and this is what he says, this is what Madison says, quote, he says that one ground, and I believe he's talking, let me just go back up to Mr. Clay, and I think it was Mason, Madison, Clay, and who was up? George Mason. So George Mason and Clay were arguing, you know, against this. And so I'm pretty sure Madison was probably referring to Mason because Mason was really making the heavier arguments. And he says that one ground of complaint at the beginning of the revolution was that a standing army was quartered upon us. This was not the whole complaint. We complained because it was done without the local authority of this country, without the consent of the people of America, as to the exclusion of standing armies in the Bill of Rights of the States. We shall find that though in one or two of them, there is something like a prohibition in most of them. It is only provided that no army shall be kept without the legislative authority, that is, without consent of the community itself. Where is the impropriety of saying that we shall have all army if necessary? Does not the notoriety of this constitute security? If inimical nations or if hostile nations were to fall upon us when defenseless, what would be the consequence? Would it be wise to say that we should have no defense? Give me leave to say that the only possible way to provide against standing armies is to make them unnecessary. Boom. I mean, that right out of the park with that one. The way to do this is to organize and discipline our militia so as to render them capable of defending the country against external invasions and internal insurrections. But it is urged that the abuses may happen. How is it possible to answer objections against the possibility of abuses? It might strike every logical reasoner that these cannot be entirely provided against. I really thought that the objection in the militia was at the end. Was there ever a constitution in which if authority was vested, it must not have been executed by force if resisted? Was it not in the contemplation of this state when contemptuous proceedings were expected to recur to something of this kind? How is it possible to have a more proper resource than this? That the laws of every country ought to be executed cannot be denied. That force must be used if necessary cannot be denied. Can't, if you understand what I'm saying, they're actually saying that when we get to a point where they're actually, and the problem is that they're, what's going on in DC right now and the types of laws that they're creating, they have no constitutional authority to do this. And because they got rid of our militias, they have made it hard for us to take up and use the physical force. And I've talked to a lot of people. They truly believe this. That force must be used if necessary, cannot be denied. Can any government be established that will answer any, put to pose whatever you, unless force be provided for executing in laws? And so with that, I'll stop right there, and we'll take this up when we come back from the break. But there's no doubt in my mind he's hitting it out of the park, and we'll get into that as soon as we get back from the break and how he's doing this. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so last segment. So it doesn't look like we're going to be able to secure all of this content and information that we need to. But let me just kind of plow forward here. And this is what Madison continues to say. This is a huge oration by him. But he creates these arguments in why we are why we have to have this militia as a part of the Constitution, as our bulwark of security. The fact of the matter is, and the reason why this is so important, the reason why I'm harping on this, is the militia is still in the Constitution. This is what we're supposed to have. The way they laid it out and the way they talked about it, until they amend the Constitution, we have no business having a National Guard. We have no business militarizing any other federal agencies operating in your backyard, whether it be the BLM, ATF, or anything. Not even U.S. Marshals. The militia is the mechanism for our security. And these guys understood this. And this is why they wrote it. I won't even say that they understood this. I think that they had these epiphanies. Actually, Madison really proves the point that he does understand. But I believe that the divine hand of providence ensured that we had all of these things so that we today, as we read these founding documents, can recognize how far our government has been perverted and subverted. And I truly mean that. It has been so perverted that you do not recognize what they created and what they're operating today. The only word to describe what we see today is federal tyranny. And so what we have to do is we have to demand compliance. And there's that word, compliance. So you can say it with me. Compliance. That's right. Now, let me move forward and we will obviously wrap up tomorrow. But this is what Madison continues to say. And he says, the Constitution does not say that a standing army shall be called out to execute the laws. It says that the militia will. Is not this more proper way? The militia ought to be called forth to suppress smugglers. Will this be denied? The case actually happened in Alexandria. There were a number of smugglers who were too formidable for the civilian power or the civil power to overcome. The military quelled the sailors who otherwise would have perpetrated their intentions. Should a number of smugglers have a number of ships, the militia ought to be called forth to quell them. We do not know but what there may be a combination of smugglers in Virginia hereafter. We all know the use made of the Isle of Man. It was a general depository of a contraband of goods. The Parliament found the evil so great as to render it necessary to wrest it out of the hands of its possessor. The Honorable Men says that it is a government of force. If he means military force, the clause under consideration proves that contrary, because it's about the militia, not military. Therefore, never was a government without force. What is the meaning of government? An institution to make people do their duty. Do you understand what he just said? An institution to make people do their duty. A government leaving it to a man to do his duty or not as he pleases would be a new species of government, or rather no government at all. Now let's keep this in context. The government that they're talking about was a very limited government that you were to do only this duty. And the one duty regarding national security was the militia. That's it. They didn't have the ability to take your food. They didn't have the ability to do anything other than providing a level of security. The ingenuity of the gentleman is remarkable in introducing the Riot Act of Great Britain. That act has no connection or analogy to any regulation of the militia, nor is there anything in the Constitution to warrant the general government to make such an act. It never was a complaint in Great Britain that the militia could be called forth. If riots should happen, the militia are proper to quell it, to prevent a resort to another mode. As to the infliction of ignominious punishments, we have no ground of alarm if we consider the circumstances of the people at large. There will be no punishments so ignominious. They use these words that they make it hard for us. So humiliating. I'll use that word. Punishments so humiliating as have been inflicted already. The militia law of every state to the north of Maryland is less rigorous than the particular law of this state. If it changed, being necessary to be made by the general government, it will be in our favor. I think that the people of those states would not agree to be subjected to a more harsh punishment than their own militia laws inflict. An observation fell from a gentleman on the same side with myself, which deserves to be attended to. If we be dissatisfied with the national government, if we should choose to renounce it, This is an additional safeguard to our defense. I conceive that we are particularly interested in giving the general government as extensive means as possible to protect us. If there is a particular discrimination between places in America, the southern states are, from this situation and circumstances, most interested in giving the national government the power of protecting its people. And then it goes on and says, Mr. Madison made some other observations, but spoke so low. So you get every once in a while, you get these things in the ratification debate, especially with Madison, because sometimes he did speak softly. And then they go on to copying what he said. And he said, an act a few years ago in this state to enable the government to call forth the militia to enforce the laws when a powerful combination should take place to oppose them. This is the same power which the Constitution is to have. There is a great deal of difference between calling forth a militia from a combination is formed to prevent the execution of laws and the sheriff or constable carrying with him a body of a militia to execute them in the first instance, which is a construction not warranted by the clause. There is an act also in this state empowering officers of the customs to summon any person to assist them when they meet with obstruction in executing their duty. I forget what that's called, but I remember when I was working as in the intel community, and I used to courier classified, and I had a courier card that basically empowered me because I was carrying such national sensitive information that if there was a law agent or what have you, I could present my card and explain to this person that I'm in the possession of some very sensitive material, and I commission you to, you know, give me aid and assistance to get this to a safe place. And they are by law to actually have to render that aid in assisting me. And so basically saying the very same thing, that if there comes a time in the necessity, power to call forth, you know, these people, then they're supposed to actually, you know, summon them, then they're supposed to assist in helping overcome these obstructions. Madison goes on and says, this shows the necessity of giving the government power to call forth the militia when the laws are resisted. It is a power vested in the legislature, in the union, and which is necessary to every government. He then moved that the clerk should read those acts which were accordingly read. And so Madison had the clerk then read these acts. Now, next up in the queue to retort, and since we're less than a minute left, I won't get into it. Mr. Mason starts talking, and then Madison comes back and replies, then Henry replies, and so forth. So we'll get into these tomorrow. But what I want to do is really summarize where we are, and we're going to wrap this up tomorrow on how important the militia is to our national security and why we have been duped in allowing for these people, these thugs, to be able to become militarized and come in and be John Waynes or what have you, whatever you want to refer to these guys that are coming into our states who have no affinity. They have no association to what is, you know, the importance of the states and so forth. And so we're in trouble, and we need to get back into compliance, or we're actually going to find ourselves not with U.S. people, but it may be U.N. people that will be coming in to try to enforce international law. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless, and I will be back tomorrow.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.